Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to our third and final hour of this Thursday edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Today is Thursday, January 14th, 2016. We have been getting into a number of topics from hour one to hour two, all heading towards a purposeful end and a reason, and we'll bring it all back around after a few short messages and by the end of the hour. And if we don't, we'll be back here tomorrow to try over again.
Oh, you don't have to wait that long. But while you're waiting, you know, disaster can happen anytime. Flood, hurricane, earthquake, goodness gracious. I mean, supply disruption. This is why we like AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. They've got some of the best preparation products money can buy. I mean, or actually, little money can buy. In fact, they've got a scratch and dent sale going on right now, so to speak. And I was talking to Rhonda today. Rhonda from Hagman & Hagman. Okay, great, great lady. Interesting, it's a great buy because she knows survival prep. She knows canning. She knows cans. She knows the longevity of food. For example, you know, the use best or use by best by dates on cans. You know, it expires 1 of 16. Oh, I better not use it if it's 2 of 16. In other words, you know, really? No. No, you've been sold a bill of goods, a lie. But in this case, American Survival Wholesale, it's not really not relevant except that they got some dented cans. They've got a few scratches on them, maybe. But they're intact. They're fine. They're good cans. The product is still good. But you can get them at a drastically reduced rate. So go to AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. I like scratch and dent merchandise because I know as long as the product is, you know, intact, it's fine with me. But even if that doesn't interest you, American Survival Wholesale has got a great whole host of other products you can get for survival. Bug out bags and such. I mean, just they've got everything. Go to AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. That's AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. And certainly do your shopping. But we were getting the first hour, we're talking about a number, well, really the first and second hour, talking about a number of things. And it kind of revolved around at the epicenter of everything was really the New World Order agenda, the gun control aspect of things, the TPP, how things in these final hours, days, weeks, months, and perhaps years are shaping up to enslave us and to subjugate us into complacency and captivity. But most importantly, the often overlooked aspect is the mind control aspect, and that's where the Tavistock Institute comes in, and this is where we are looking at, okay, we're being assaulted. We know we're being gamed on multiple levels, but do we know how the younger generation is being gamed? And do we know how we've been gamed since the beginning or since earlier? What about Kennedy? You see, because the counterculture really started after Kennedy, after JFK, after RFK, after Martin Luther King. Remember that decade of violence? Remember the decade of the counterculture decade?
Yes.
That was a product of the MK Ultra stuff. You know,
now, if we could...
Moving on. Go on.
Go back to the 35,000 feet.
Yes. Yes.
View.
Please. Let's do that.
Are you familiar with an author named John Stanton?
Yeah.
John Stanton. He just wrote an article titled The Emerging Dystopian Republic.
Yes.
Systems Engineering the Human from Birth Through Death.
There you go. And shame on me for not... Go ahead. That's good.
I'll just read the first paragraph or two. It says, the systems engineering discipline is at once an exceptional, holistic, and precision tool for conceptualizing, designing, fielding, maintaining, upgrading, and recycling systems as a diverse, handheld mobile communications device, the Internet, WWW, urban transportation systems, U.S. military weapon systems, like aircraft carriers. Generally speaking, the systems engineering methodology considers the entire life cycle of the system or product from the beginning to end. The life cycle process must account for other key inputs, materials, humans, labor, time, funding costs, operational environment, disposal, etc. A critical determinant in the overall system engineering process is often the role of human capital. Where does the human fit into the system? What kind of human can the system tolerate?
Human resources. Think back when there used to be personnel, now human resources. Go on.
Yeah. And it goes on to say, you know, how will the system fit to the human, or will the human fit to the system? And it, he goes on to conclude that the system engineers and their holistic tools that they employ look beyond the large-scale system, the machine or megacity that is constructed, maintained, managed, and it goes on to the system of culture, politics, and economy, the totality in which complex communication networks, machines, megacities, nuclear weapons, militaries, political parties, rules, regulations, people, places, and things operate and exist. And he goes on to explain survival of the system more so than the survival of the people. And the survival of the system is to retain unmatched global military and economic dominance that depends largely on channeling individuals and clusters of individuals into life slots to meet the system's needs, not an individual's aspirations, or some American dream. But it goes on to say that they will be engineered to support the system. The engineering of human systems will begin with the cultivation, testing, monitoring of male and female genomic material, the fetus and test tube, through formal education stages, through the workplace, retirement, until the death, which is the cheapest way to die and dispose of the body. In short, individuals, groups, life cycles will be subjected to necessarily intrusive systems of engineering practices. The dystopian, deterministic republic survival and mission success will depend on the discipline of the system engineering and the discipline of the acceptance of the individuals. And it goes on from there. I mean, it goes to mention the Brave New World and the what we have in the past and what we're going to see in the future. And he breaks it down into a great five-page article. And again, the title is, let me scroll back up here, The Emerging Dystopian Republic, Systems Engineering the Human from Birth Through Death by John Stanton.
You know, and that's the bottom line. This is a cradle-to-grave mind-washing. Mind-washing.
hey, that ain't wrong.
This is a cradle-to-grave system of programming. Yes, yes. So we are being forced to accept gun control measures. The people who will resist are being classified as dissenters. The people who are classifying us as dissenters believe, in fact, that we are mentally ill by adhering to the rules of law, the rules of, we'll say, the Constitution, the rules of the biblical, defense, whatever you might, whatever. But see, people now are under such a lie that you know the old saying, you cannot see the forest for the trees. Okay, you're in this forest and you can't see your way out of it. And there are other clips from that movie that I was going to play. Basically, the closer you look, the less you see. And isn't that really kind of what this is all about? When you really look at a microscopic level, you don't see the things around. You just see a very pointed, very small slice of whatever you might be looking at. When you look at things from a 35,000 foot level, you can see a lot of things, and then you can begin to connect the disparate dots of the towns and the farm pastures and the stores and the network of highways. You get a better idea. You get a better understanding of things. That's the way it is too with a symbolism. We had gone over the lyrics of rock or of hip hop. That, of course, is one area where we are being programmed. And we are being told, see, that's the other thing, we're being told that we are being programmed. And again, Daniel Estulin wrote a great book, it's the Tavistock Institute, that explains precisely how we're being programmed. Now let me, we had stopped the Rain Man, but let me go take this one step further, again, citing heavily from the Tavistock Institute, because he brings in the obvious, or what should be obvious, about the Kennedy assassination, which was a hinge moment in American history that has allowed, that really it was a decapitation, coup d'etat, whatever. But where we're going with this is to show you the end game. But to get to the end game here, where we're at today, you need to see the symbolism and the signature aspect beyond the conspiracy, obvious conspiracy. You need to look at the signature, the mark of the artist on what happened with Kennedy. And this, again, this is from Daniel Estulin, and it's extremely, it, I think it's great. I mean, I think it lays everything out real well, and it'll bring you to this point now where we're at today. And it'll show you how precisely, how exquisitely, and I don't mean to use that word favorably, but how exquisitely we've been programmed. And the reason, and when you hear this, you're going to say, ah, man, but hang on. Okay. I'll just do it real quick here. And this is Estulin writes, what if I told you that JFK assassination was a ritual slaying? And don't forget the ritualistic nature of the lyrics you heard. What if I told you that JFK assassination was a ritual slaying? What is known in the world of the occult as the killing of the king. 53 years ago, this November, the president was the American government was decapitated. He went through Dealey Plaza, Triple Underpass, near the Triple Underpass. The government of America was decapitated. Folks, we are in that limousine now. We are in the back of that limousine now. That is us in that limousine. And we are about to be the victims of a ritual decapitation. The means, gun control, gun confiscation, the means, taking down the economy, the means, oppressive taxes. You can't afford your house, stack and pack apartments. The means, TPP. The methods, mind control. The methods, various levels of programming. The methods, brainwashing, governments, operatives, whatever. The opportunities are plentiful because we've been softened by the means and by their methods. Now, again, he writes, what if I gave you enough evidence to show you that that in fact this was a ritual killing, despite the version of events wherein we are told a lone assassin killed the president with a magic bullet? And to understand really the Kennedy assassination and place it within the realm of the Tavistock mind control, secret societies, one world conspiracy, Nazi occult, and this is where Nazi occult comes in too, because we right today, the Nazi occult is playing a part in the mind control system. I mean, the mind control apparatus, the government system, the secret societies, they're all interconnected. You got to open the doors of perception into the netherworld, rather, of the unknown by changing the way we look upon the details and the fantastic convergences of life, writes Daniel Estulin. This is the way ancient man perceived the world, encompassing a vision that detects every link, every symbol, beginning with the significance of names, and then places, necessarily including, you've got to look at location, including lines of latitude and longitude and the divisions of degrees and geography, cartography, and then obsessive actions which stem from the confluence of the two, which have become known to be ritualistic. Symbolism and other types of references can be flagrant. They can be subconsciously picked up. The rap music, the symbolisms in the entertainment shows. Subconscious, conscious level. You can see it with your eye. In films and videos, the type of subliminal messaging is achieved using scenes that contain brief flashes. Remember those of the popcorn by Coke? You're eating popcorn, you're thirsty. You're thirsty. They've outlawed that. Right? Subliminal scenes. Brief flashes of light and alternating dark and light in video frames. That can also trigger programming. Symbolism sometimes is often more blatant, more clear, and more easily identifiable, but because of the meaning of references behind it are unknown to most people, the brain just filters it out. It is insignificant, meaningless. But the subconscious registers it. And the government understands this. The government mind control programmers understand this. None of this is meaningless, folks. Whether it's the lyrics, whether it's the lights, whether it's the checkered floor, the symbols, none of it is there by accident. Now, JFK, you're going to be shocked to see how nothing was left to chance in terms of the JFK assassination, writes Daniel Estulin, despite the apparent scenes of chaos and disconcert. And this, again, this all connects together to what we're seeing today. And I don't know how many people have read his book, the Tavistock Institute, Social Engineering of the Masses. But I highly recommend it. Now, when you penetrate the secrets of the secret societies and secret symbols, it would be helpful to consider, he writes, the dictum, i.e. dictum of Einsteinian physics. Now, James Shelby Downard, Michael A. Hoffman, the second, wrote, time relations among events are assumed to be first constituted by the specific relations obtaining between them. Now, that seems like a rather cumbersome statement, I'll admit. Secret societies, Masonic lodges, cults, and spies, they use secret symbols to show their affiliation. This is important. The eternal pagan psychodrama is escalated under the modern conditions precisely because the sorcery is not what the 20th century man can accept as real. What is being said here, what they're telling us, is we don't believe any of this is real. But see, it's not important what we believe. It's what's important is what they believe. James Shelby Downard and Michael A. Hoffman II wrote, and I don't know how many people have read this, King Kill 33. Are you familiar with that?
No.
They explain the mechanics of the assassination of JFK, which Daniel Estulin is dragging in terms of the Tavistock. They write this: keep in mind that the ultimate purpose of John Fitzgerald Kennedy's assassination was neither political nor economic, but sorcerous. For the control of the dreaming mind and the marshaling of its forces is the omnipotent force in this entire scenario of lies, of cruelty, and of degradation. Remember that once you spread the deadly virus, the disease will do the rest. Of course, that's the metaphor. I'm using that as a metaphor. Something died in the American people on November 22nd, 1963. Call it idealism. Call it the innocence or the quest for moral excellence. But you have to admit, if you were alive back then and of age, you know that something died that day. Just like if you, of this generation on 9/11, you knew something died that day. But keeping with JFK very quickly, it is the transformation. This particular transformation, by the way, of human beings, which is the authentic reason and motive for the Kennedy murder. Now that, again, is from, that's Daniel Estulin referencing a book called King Kill 33 by James Shelby Downard and also Michael A. Hoffman II. Interesting book. That's the thing about books. You get one book, you look at the bibliography, you gotta get the other book, and then you have that big way, and go on and on and on. And while I'm on the subject of books, we're also citing heavily from this trilogy. I don't know if you can, for the people on YouTube, it doesn't matter here. It's Sinister Force trilogy, Sinister Forces trilogy by Peter Lavenda, and Russ Dizdar has talked about this trilogy as well. But, speaking of James Shelby Downard, he wrote this classic. It's an underground classic called Sorcery, Sex, Assassination, and the Science of Symbolism. That links American historical events with the grand occult plan of secret societies. That investigative work on the startling links within the Kennedy assassination that remained unmatched long after his death. This, according to the author, Kennedy and his wife left the... again, I'm going to hurry through this, but Kennedy and his wife left the Temple Houston and were met at midnight by just a bunch of people, tireless crowds who were present to cheer the sun god, as Kennedy was referenced by the Masons, the secret societies. I shouldn't just say Masons. And his Jackie, of course, was considered the queen of love and beauty in Fort Worth. The crowds there on the morning of November 22nd, and they flew to Gate 28, Love Field, Texas. Now, you got to understand everything that I'm saying here, as referenced by the authors, by James Shelby Downard, as well as Daniel Estulin, who opines in here as well. It's notice the connections. They left Temple Houston, were met Kennedy was considered sun god. His wife, queen of love and beauty. In Fort Worth, on November 22nd, they flew to Gate 28 Love Field. Number 28 is one of the correspondences of Solomon in Kabbalistic numerology. The Solomonic name assigned to 28 is Beale, B-E-A-L-E. Think of that word, too, as you think of other songs that have that name in it, that word in it. The 28th degree on the 28th degree of latitude in the state of Texas is the site of what was once the giant Kennedy Ranch. On the 28th degree is also Cape Canaveral, if you go further east, where the moon flight was launched, which was made possible by Kennedy. Not by just his works, but by his death for the placing of the Freemasons on the moon. And we know the story behind the moon, you know, the Freemasons who were part of that. Anyway, that could only be accomplished according to their twisted, perverse, and sickening agenda by killing after the king was killed, or killing the king. So the 28th degree of Templarism, the Knights Templar Templarism, is the king of the sun degree. I'm throwing a lot of stuff at you, but try to follow, you know, hang in there. The President Kennedy and the First Lady arrived in Air Force One, and would you believe that Air Force One was codenamed, what, Angel? The motorcade proceeded from Love Field to Dealey Plaza. Dealey Plaza is the site of the Masonic Temple in Dallas, which has now been bulldozed over. Really, that was the big deal with the plaza at that point. The important protective strategy for Dealey Plaza was planned by the New Orleans CIA station. They were headquartered in a Masonic temple building in Dallas. In a Masonic temple building, period, in New Orleans. Dallas, Texas, is located 10 miles north of the 33rd degree of latitude, and the 33rd degree, of course, is the highest in Freemasonry. Now, you might think, oh, would you shut up already, because none of this is relevant. You're just throwing out a bunch of numbers and stuff. Oh, no. Because when you look at things, Dealey Plaza is close to the Trinity River, you know, closer, which is before the introduction of the flood controls, the measures that were done back in the late 60s, early 70s. Well, the Dealey Plaza was often subjected to being submerged underwater. And Dealey Plaza, by the twisted logic of some of these secret societies, they believe that it symbolizes both the trident and its bearer, the water god Neptune. Again, you might think, boy, you're getting far out there. To this trident Neptune came the queen of love and beauty, and her spouse, the scapegoat, this all gets kind of crunched together when you look at the iconography of all of this. When you start putting these things together, the numbers, the 12:22 p.m., the motorcade proceeded down Main Street toward the Triple Underpass, traveling first down Elm Street. The latter was the scene of numerous gunfights, stabbings, and other violence. It's the location of the Majestic Theater, the pawn shop, the not-so-good district of the industrial district. Elm, Main, Commerce, they form a trident pattern in alignment with the Triple Underpass. As any map, pick up a map and you'll see that. Many analysts contend that at least three assassins, by the way, were involved in this ambush. Three, of course, is an important number. And it's the prime tenet of Masonry that its assassins came in threes. So just think about all of this. Could it all just be nothing, you know, just nothing but gobbledygook? Sure, it could be. But can it be at this level? I don't know. Take a closer look. Masonic assassins are known in the code of the lodge as the unworthy craftsmen. Notice Hiram Abiff. Joe, you talk about Hiram Abiff, the architect of Solomon's Temple, and he was murdered, according to Masonic legend, by three unworthy craftsmen. So, because Masonry is obsessed for one secret society, because they're obsessed with the earth as a kind of a game board, if you will, and go back to the black and white checkerboard floor. Just saying. The ancillary alignments necessary to facilitate this game is really, it is in inordinately concerned with railroads, railroad personnel, outside of lawyers. I'll just mention this as kind of an aside. Outside of the profession of law and one other profession, circus performers, there is no other vocation that has a higher percentage of Masons other than railroad workers. And where was the location of this? By the railroad tracks, by the underpass. So anyway, minutes after, and I'm going to kind of finish up with this because it gets more intense, but we don't have to go down any further the rabbit hole than this. Minutes after Kennedy was murdered, you saw, what, three hobos? The unworthy craftsmen, they were arrested at the rail yard behind Dealey Plaza. No records of their identities was ever revealed, nor the identity of the arresting officer. All that remains of those few minutes are a series of photographs, a ritual accompaniment of the black mass that was the ceremonial immolation of the king, the unmistakable calling card of the Masonic murder, the appearance, the three unworthy craftsmen, we know, appeared. And this was all very well choreographed. And we can go further. Dealey Plaza, how it breaks down symbolically. I'm just going to leave it go. The systematic arrangement and pattern of the symbols of the things having to do with the killing of Kennedy indicates that he was a scapegoat in a sacrifice. The purpose of such macabre ritualism is further recognizable in the patterns of symbolism culminating in the final marking. Manifest all that is hidden. Basically, the furthering as we go into it, the killing of Oswald, the death of Ruby, and also the twisting of the Warren Commission. So where are we going all with all this? So you just said a whole bunch of junk and you know gobbledygook. I forgot to tell you too, the Umbrella Man. Think about that. Because we were talking about Rain Man, when you look at, take a closer look at the Rain Man and Umbrella, they may be defined. For example, again, citing from Daniel Estulin's book, The Tavistock Institute, Umbrella. Looking at definitions, collapsible canopy that protects from the rain or sun, object like an umbrella, something that gives support, protection, or authority. Umbrella in Latin, as Eric had pointed out, translates into shadow. Under the influence of umbra. Umbra can also mean phantom or ghost. Isn't that interesting? And this is where we are headed, because now we see the sign of the Illuminati, the subliminal messages that we talked about, the lyrics in the songs, the occult realm, which is sweeping through our post-war and even into our contemporary line of life. All of this is bringing us to the left-handed path by the secret societies, and they are pushing it down our throat. We had talked about Rihanna earlier, and Joe, did you mention, this is where Daniel Esselin writes, did you mention Rihanna, a good girl gone bad, or was I imagining that? You mentioned something else, perhaps.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that was one of the ones I mentioned, but there's so many. I mean, it's hard to
okay.
remember.
Well, the bottom line here is in this Tavistock whole situation, and if it sounds like, you know, we just kind of really tore this apart and trying to, you know, pull things together, what we have to look at is the again, the larger view. We are seeing a signature event on a historical hinge moment with the Kennedy assassination. There's so many symbols that were apparent back then, in 1963, that associate the Masonic, the secret societies, and even the occult aspects of, shall I say, the Nazis, you know, George Bush's supposed potential involvement, the sinister forces that were at play. And again, I have to cite a lot of information from Peter Lavenda's trilogy, Sinister Forces, who gets into the occult aspects of the assassination. But we said all of that to say this, the lyrics, the raps, all of the symbolism, this with respect to Kennedy, as bizarre as this sounds, you've got the actual conspiracy, the Warren Commission, the cover up, the LBJ, the CIA. You've got the fact that the Warren Commission, you know, Mason, Lyndon Johnson, he was a Mason. He appointed another Mason, Earl Warren, to investigate the death of Kennedy.
It's like the 9/11 Commission.
Right, exactly.
Trying to appoint Henry Kissinger.
Well, you know, we look at this. Warren, by the way, and I did not know this, Gerald R. Ford, I did not realize that he was a 33rd degree Mason. He was instrumental in suppressing a lot of the evidence from the JFK assassination, and what little evidence of a conspiratorial nature there was never really reached the commission, there was very little evidence of a conspiracy that really reached the commission. And now responsible for supplying information to the commission was another Mason, a member of the 33rd degree, of course, Edgar Hoover. So Alan Dulles being a part of this, the Nazi, occult Nazi component of this, Alan Dulles, former CIA director, he was responsible for most of his agency's data supplied to the Warren Commission. So you see we can see here now where the decapitation of America took place in 1963. It spawned the counterculture. When I say spawned it, I shouldn't say spawned it. It really energized the counterculture, because that was, of course, after that came the decade of the revolution, the counterculture. It bore, you know, the hallmarks of bore Woodstock and also the music and such. Now we see it refined into the lyrics of people like Jay-Z, Eminem, or of late, I shouldn't say refined now, but we see it going down the road now and going into a certain, leading us down a certain path, and we are late down that path. We are far down that path. So when you take a look at issues that face us socially, we have already been programmed. For example, anyone who says the JFK assassination was a conspiracy, you're kind of Looney Tunes. Okay, a lot of people, even though the majority of people believe that there was more than one assassin, when you talk about it as a conspiracy, you are often ridiculed. The same with 9/11. So Obama going on being on television saying gun control, talk of confiscation of guns, is a conspiracy. Folks, the template for conspiracy, the accusations, the pejorative term, has already been laid many times over. Conspiracy, JFK. But and also to reinforce that level of conspiracy, accusation of conspiracy to support that, exists the entertainment, the entertainers who are shoving it in our face. And if you noticed, Joe, that people, the late night talk show host, there was a couple of people on who openly mocked the conspiratorial, saying, "Well, yeah, I'm a member of the Illuminati," but it was in a mocking fashion.
Jim Carrey,
was
a comedian who was on Conan, I believe. Or one of the late night shows.
But see, so how we have to look at all of this, if we put this in a linear form here, we have to go from really, what we did was we just took out a slice and just hit some very obscure yet high points, perhaps some points you never heard before, from the rap music to the association with, you know, the Rain Man. So, Joe, bottom line, Rain Man, we really need to address that because we haven't closed that out. I mean, Rain Man and Umbrella. Who's Rain Man?
Well, the term Rain Man has a, from what I've found, I guess, it seems to be more opinionated than anything scriptural or
matter of fact. Yeah, you're not going to find
this. And what they say is, the, at least from what I found, is that, and let me just do another search here, because I've done Rain Man, Illuminati, Rain Man, and it has to do with the devil giving you power for using you and I guess it would be their gifts of singing and creating music or making music to brainwash people, showering you with selling your soul for the goods of this world. And I, let me go back to this website here and quote from the site. The secret of the Rain Man. God is in the rain. God with little g.
That's right. Going back to the cult of Isis, the Eye of Horus, and the little g's of Egyptian and Babylonian mythology. The Ptolemaic cults of Isis, the Stoic cults, the pagan ritualistic cults, the all of this, the Babylonian Hellenic models of mythology and occultism.
Okay, hold on here. I just found this site.
Okay.
It says this. Rain is water that has fallen as rain. Rainwater, a heavy fall. Descent of this water, to send down rain, to fall as drops of water from the cloud, to give, administer abundantly. Okay. The name rain means abundant blessings from above. It can be used for male or female. So Rain Man is referring to a male. We can arrive that Rain Man has several meanings. One, abundant blessings from above man. A man that offers abundant blessings from above. A man who likes to make it rain, throw money at strippers. That's from the Urban Dictionary. But it goes down to the umbrella is defined as a collapsible canopy that protects from the rain or sun. Something that gives support or protection. It's also Latin that translates into shadow.
Correct.
It can mean phantom or ghost. And back to Rain Man. Basically what I said before was it's the devil will make promises if you worship him and will give you things.
Rain Man is a cult, a devil, a little G devil,
who offers abundant blessings from above, like money, fame, and women. With a heavy price, a bondage of your soul. And that's the easiest way to sum it up.
Okay. It's a cult in nature. You know, if, and Daniel Esselin writes this, kind of to supplement this in the fashion that perhaps.
And they say since Lucifer is a musical being,
yes.
The Rain Man entity is a demonic. Possessed that takes over these artists to manipulate and brainwash the listeners.
Well, consider this, because that segues into this. Esselin writes this about Rihanna. The curtain is drawn, he writes, and we're back in the real world. The coffin has been removed, the checkered floor scrubbed and polished, lights, camera, music. So what does a subliminal message look like? Here's one example, he writes, and this kind of is another crumb that makes the cake. Rihanna, her real name is Robin Rihanna Fenty. I did not know that. Better known as simply Rihanna. She's a recording artist. Her 2007 album, Good Girl Gone Bad, which peaked at number 2 on the Billboard 200 chart, featured 5 top 10 hits, including 3 U.S. number 1 hit singles. Okay, that's who she is. And interestingly, he writes, among them was Umbrella. She also amassed over 1 billion views on YouTube, becoming the 4th artist to do so. Now, if you pay close attention to her video for Umbrella, and this is really something, you may notice something very disturbing about it, a digitally mastered image that simply does not fit into the video unless there's an ulterior reason to include it, like a subliminal message, for example. In one of the frames, Rihanna spread her arms, pushing away from the rainwater falling on her. Again, there's rain. Okay, as a result, if you freeze frame it, you can clearly see an image of a goat's head. All right, now, or maybe it's Baphomet's head. I don't know. Are we just seeing things where nothing is there? Are we just seeing BS? Okay, is it trick photography? And if it isn't, then what's it doing there? Okay, so maybe it's not an accident. Maybe it's just simply a random thing. Okay, kind of like, you know, that demon's head in the smoke in 9/11. Some people believe it's random. Some don't. maybe we're making too much of it. Maybe we're not. Maybe we're pulling it and trying to pull strings in here and reading tea leaves. No. Look, basic fluid dynamics is going to tell you that her body and arm movements cannot create the liquid formation in the clearly visible form of a goat's head. You just can't do that. It's just not. You just. Now, not only that, but the liquid clearly comes out from the location of Rihanna's womb. Exaggerating? Well, keep in mind that the music videos are created in a fully controlled studio environment. We can attest to that. We don't do music videos, but we understand the aspect of studios. Therefore, if something is there, it's meant to be there. It's not there by accident. It's not an artifact of the studio. So, look at it this way. And Daniel Esselin writes this in Tavistock Institute. He writes, another example is in Eminem's Mosh video. There's an image of the Eye of Providence where an all-seeing eye can be traced back to the Egyptian mythology in the Eye of Horus. Now, many believe that they interpret it as an all-seeing eye of secret societies controlling the world from behind the scenes. It's there. It's painted over an image of American soldiers with the headline reading, Congress okays $87 billion for Iraq. Okay, now we're talking about something. Where did that come from? Most people understand the Eye of Providence as the all-seeing eye, you know, the thing that's on the back of the dollar bill. But it's also the symbol of the supreme being of one world government. The supreme being, not God Almighty. But the great architect from the Masonic, from the great architect of the universe, because it appears on every $1 bill above a topless pyramid. It's a Masonic symbol for the unfinished temple of Solomon. There it is. And by the way, there are more sinister interpretations, but I'm going to leave it go at that. So, and we get into the cult of Isis too, because the Eye of Horus is part of the cult of Isis. And Isis, what do we see? There's Isis, the terrorist group, and Isis, the Tom Horn has written about in Napoleon Rising and Zenith 2016. And talking with Tom Horn, Isis, the name is a little bit, has more significance than just the terrorist group. Putting all this together, seemingly random, disparate, like, you know, just all of a sudden just words falling out of our mouths, not meaning anything, bouncing off the table into your microphone or into your headset or computer. What the heck did I just hear? What did I just hear? I thought we were talking about gun control. I thought we were talking about TPP. I thought maybe we were talking about keeping us safe. I thought we were talking about the militia extremist movement identified in 2011. By the Department of Homeland Security, that thought we were talking about keeping us safe. The heck? What's one thing that connects everything? Sure. Anybody out there in radio land, in YouTube land, what's the one or two things that connect everything? Should I pause to wait for an answer? I don't think I'm going to get one.
I'm not gonna.
When you go,
I'll just wait for you.
Okay, all right. It's the mental conditioning and the mental programming for everyone to accept the fact that there is only really one, people and institutions have an exclusivity on truth. The academics, the historians have an exclusivity on truth that you today are not being mind controlled. We are being gamed so much, so hard, so fast by in so many different directions from the entertainment world. You watch a football game, you're forced to watch or compelled to watch, or at least given that venue of commercials that have occult symbolism of the performers within the acts of occult symbolism, the television shows like Lucifer. All of a sudden you're seeing this explosion of occult symbolism. You're seeing all of this mind control, this mind programming. And when you take all of this current, you take everything current that we're seeing, that we're being exposed to, and you use that against the backdrop of MK Ultra. Think about the findings of the Church Committee, and you look at the generational programming that has taken place over the last how many decades? Refined back with by the CIA, refined Manchurian candidates. You see the mass shooters. You see the lone wolf shooters. You see the look in their eyes from the Aurora shooting to the various other shootings. What do you see? Do you see a sane, rational person? Is that Holmes guy? Help me out, these shooters. I can't remember their names. Holmes and... Well, they look crazy, right? What's the interconnectivity? The trauma of the JFK assassination, having an Illuminati signature, the mass shootings conducted by people who are arguably Manchurian candidates or could very well be. Look in their eyes. Look at the potential programming. The continual programming by people, there are two people like us, by the Luciferian elite behind the scenes. The gun control as a result of or a consequence of these mass shootings. The trauma of the mass shootings, Gabby Giffords. I threw her in just because, I mean, that was, you know, traumatic for the American people. Reagan, of course. But most importantly, Kennedy as the hinge moment. Trauma-based mind control. The single most solitary factor in this is trauma-based mind control. There, that's the net that everyone is caught in. And you got the method, means, and opportunity here. The method, of course, is the mind control. The means is through entertainment, is through the various subliminal messages, as well as the CIA operations, the other NGO operations. Think back at the Milgram experiments at Stanford. Think about all of these different experiments, you know, from Stanford to even the ones we know about. But they're programming assassins, and we're seeing it. There are sinister forces behind the history. There are sinister forces behind the current geopolitical events, and believe me, there are sinister forces behind the referencing militia extremist movements, the people who believe in God, guns, and guts. There are sinister forces behind it.
Remember these photos?
Yep.
From the 1972 Rothschild dinner party?
Yes. And if we had more time, we can get into those.
We'll put them up on the site.
Go ahead. You know what? I
sent them to Eric.
Maybe we can, if you can just hold that screen on that one. Because this shows you how long this is. I mean, because, and I don't want to get too far out here with more disparity or with more disparate events, but when you look back at Rosemary's Baby, when you look back at the Manchurian Candidate, the film, when you look back at the assassination film, when you look back at all of these, that's just Hollywood. When you look at the Sharon Tate murders, when you look at Laurel Canyon, when you look at all of the stuff that we've been, Woodstock, the fact that it was a CIA operation, we talked about that. This is all a big mind game experiment leading up to today. And it is for people to accept really what they wouldn't have accepted 50 years ago, 40 years ago, 30 years ago, 25 years ago. It's mind control. We're being gamed. We're being gamed at levels that you never even believed we would be by institutions that have perfected mind control. That's the big issue. And that might have been a long way to say what I said. What we said, but I don't think so. I think there were some important points in there. Gun control, it's coming. When I say, or gun confiscation, it's coming. And there will be people that will be willing to turn their guns over. No questions asked. There will be gun control and turning other family members in, it's coming. Accepting the Australian model of gun confiscation or of gun eradication, it's common. If other events don't take place first, they just might. Because how many other James Holmes are out there? How many other mind control programming victims are out there? Many. Look at this picture. If you're on YouTube, take a look at this picture. Take a look at that.
That's one photo of a series of photos.
Keep that up there. Because the people might not...
This is a
keep that up there.
Photos from 1972, a Rothschild dinner party, surrealist dinner party from 1972. Not only are there pictures of people wearing goat heads, but I'm going to change the image here, Eric, and
you see these people. No. This is not CGI. This is not as photoshopped.
No.
At least that one. I can verify the authenticity of that one photograph.
This other one up here is just.
These are sick people. These are very sick.
Here it is.
I can't verify that, the authenticity of that, and that's caution when you look at that picture. That's it for those listening on the radio. It's.
Look. This is a doll. A dinner party from a Rothschild event. You have baby dolls pulled into pieces.
Yes.
Broken skulls, missing legs.
Wait a second. This is allegedly. Okay. We would have to say allegedly.
I'm pretty sure it's been verified because there's a picture of Mr. Rothschild.
But let's just say allegedly. Okay. Because
allegedly.
You know,
Guccifer Hack from.
Yeah.
2013.
Yes.
And this is what these people consider to be.
I truly believe it's art? it's no, no. This is a celebration. This is the most sick celebration.
Here.
And I do believe in the authenticity of this. This is from Guccifer, the guy that's in jail now.
Yes.
Okay. This he said. Okay. He hacked into one of the accounts of held by one of the elites, and this is what he found. Okay. Now this is according to Guccifer. If you choose not to believe it, you feel free. And again, the reason is the depravity, the debauchery, people don't accept that this is real. But, you know, people have a hard time accepting just the mere conspiracy of more than one gunman in the JFK assassination. Well, you're not going to accept the Masonic signature or the secret society signature of the JFK assassination. You're certainly not going to accept the authenticity of these images. It's sick, beyond sick. But unfortunately, they have. This is what's out there today. And it's not important what you believe. You might look at this and say, well, that's just a Halloween party. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Even if it is, it's a pretty damn sick Halloween party. All right.
I mean.
And we have more. We have more images from not just from Guccifer, but from other sources. Actually, from we can copy them from, or, you know, show you pictures from books. But the bottom line here. These are the elites, the Luciferian elites. This is the depravity. So if you have a hard time, you know, when we look at the mind control elements going on here, the fact that we're being gamed, all of us are being gamed, I guess that's the theme. And, you know, they are trying to protect us, protect America from us. And what is meant by that is, yeah, they can't afford to have us out there. Displaying or getting into their secret societies and exposing their secret societies, their methodology, their modes of operation, and their madness. They can't afford us to do that, to have us doing that. They can't afford having us decipher and others decipher the plans and intents on the cover of The Economist. They have to keep America safe from us, and to do so, they will.
What they have to do is keep the majority.
I mean,
they can have us running around, but you know, as long as they have the majority wrapped up, that's all that matters.
And as
we
eat
our own,
sometimes literally.
Mm-hmm.
And if you didn't follow it the first time, perhaps listen to it again. And if you're still frustrated, we'll try it again some other time.
No, tomorrow we'll be back. With more on our continuing, ongoing roundtable discussion as we've had all week.
Tomorrow's going to be a special show. I invite everyone to tune in tomorrow. It's going to be one that, we'll see you tomorrow.
Stay safe. God bless. Good night. Until tomorrow, we'll be back 7 p.m.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.